Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to the August September committee meeting of the East Lancaster County School Board. At this time, if you would please rise, a little bit of silence, and then pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, at every meeting, we have the opportunity for citizens of the district to offer comments or speak to the board. Does anybody want to speak to the board tonight, citizens?
I do.
Okay. Your name and where you live?
Neil Martin, and I live in New Holland.
Is there anyone else? Okay, Neil, you're up.
Well, first of all, I wanted to say thank you, all of you, for your service to our district and our students. And, on behalf of myself, I'd like to say a prayer for the board this time. Father God, I just want to thank you for these servants, these public servants, and I want to lift them up to you tonight and pray that you would give them wisdom to make decisions that would keep propelling our district forward. And Lord, I pray that when difficult decisions arrive, that you would give them clarity, and Lord, I pray that they could govern with integrity, and that you just bless our district, Father. Lord, I pray for the administration, Dr. Hollister, and the rest of our teachers and our students, that our students might grow up to be whole and healthy and contributing members to our society that can change our world for the better. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you. At this time, we have a special presentation from Representative Dave Zimmerman.
I'd like to introduce Representative Zimmerman. He had requested several times to make sure that we got him invited to a board meeting to address the board. He had asked me over a period of time, and we ran into each other here recently, and I said, we need to get that done, and we started looking at calendars, and all of a sudden, we had to do it today. So here he is. He talked last week, and he's already here. So it's our pleasure to introduce Representative Zimmerman, a very big supporter of the school district and a good friend of the community. So, Dave.
Okay, thanks, Dr. Hollister, to the UB board. I do have an opportunity to interact with Dr. Hollister and Keith Ramsey at times and see them a lot more than the rest of you. However, Tom and I's relationship goes way, way back in some of our ag days, right, Tom?
They got in our dairy days.
Yeah, way back when, before Tom even took over the farm, so I'm not sure how long that's been.
They're both teenagers.
There you go. A long time ago. Yeah. And I want to thank Neil for the prayer as well. Well, just a few things, and we are going back into session next week, and it's going to be pretty difficult for me to make one of the nights going forward yet this year actually work. So maybe this would be the right night for this. So I want to first just thank and commend you as board members for being willing to serve. It's not easy work. And, you kind of put yourself out there to, there's a lot of issues that need to be decided. There's, on so many things today, about half the people like it and half don't. So therein lies the challenge of, doing the right thing, kind of deciding as a group, what do we do and so forth. But having served on a number of committees and boards, the one thing I do want to say is that personally I have the utmost respect for any group that sits down and has dialogue and kind of processes, an issue, and then at the end of the day, they end up voting and decision made, but I kind of leave it there. So I think what I do see happening a little bit is that there's a bit more, or maybe a lot more, of a lack of respect for any kind of authority, whether it's school board level, whether it's at church, whether it's nonprofits, any boards and committees, whatever industry someone might be involved in, that kind of thing. So, and if any of you ever have a chance to come up to the House of Representatives, some real interesting debates, for sure. And some take much longer than others, depending on the issue and so forth. But I think that's what it should be about. It should be about discussing issues and then eventually coming to some decisions. But again, just thank all of you for being willing to serve. I want to just make a comment or two about our budget. I didn't prepare anything to put on screen. Dr. Hollister, maybe next time we'll do that. So there's a little bit, maybe we'll even have some handouts for you to get a little better picture of what's going on. Here's what I would do want to say. We ended up, and frankly, this right there is our budget. $31.63 billion went up. And I know that, it's a big part of what all of you do as well, is end up with a budget. New process. And that's an area that you spend a lot of time on. So here's what we did. To come up to $31.63 billion, we increased the budget over last year by $1.4 billion. And what's a bit concerning is that of that $1.4 billion, $1.2 billion was either mandated or contractual. And that's a number to kind of keep in mind here. So where does the mandates and the contracts come from? Quite a few, the human services side of things, pension liabilities is a big one. Those are several of the real big ones. We have some contractual arrangements with the prison system, for example, and so forth. And then we have the so-called Obamacare that is mandated. And that plays into the budget as well. But $1.2 billion is either mandated or contractual. So there was an extra $200 million rather that we increased, and that was basically to have the governor agree with us to go ahead and let the budget go into effect. And so that $200 million was actually extra monies to education. So the only increase on the education side, most everything else was pretty much flat funded over the last year. So I just share that a little bit. Here's what happens. We every year we depend on some kind of economic growth. And this past year, things grew for us to the tune of about $500 million. So when you take $1.4 billion, you have growth of $500 million, we have a shortfall of how much? $900 million, correct? So $900 million shortfall, and so we need to find that somewhere. So what we did head off the two big ones, and that's your income tax and your sales tax. We're able to hold off on any increases in that area. We did increase things like tobacco. We increased vaping went from no tax to 40%, and there's a big pushback on that at the moment. And then things like digital downloads, for example, a new tax. Concerned with that is I know there's quite a few students that are actually downloading school books and so forth these days, and so that would all come under attack. And then there was other miscellaneous taxes as well, but we with those increases we were able to come up with the $900 million that we needed. What happens next year? I'm not sure, but what our big taxes really are income and sales. Those are our two big, that's what we rely on in a big way, year over year. So, you know, I share that on budget because I know all of you, you know, kind of work on the whole area of budget. What I did want to just point out is the actual, some of the actual percents in this budget as well. And I'll just share those. I could actually make some copies of this if that would be of interest, but education is actually huge. It's a big part of the state budget, as you all know. So pre-K through 12 is about 36% of the budget. And then you add higher education into that, we're looking at another 5%, so 41%, just you know, on the education side. The next big one, anyone know who the next big one is?
Agriculture?
No, not agriculture. So that's our largest industry. Well, that's not our largest
expense. Human services.
Yeah, human services is about 38%. So huge part of the budget. And that third one is corrections and rehabilitation, and that's ever growing at kind of a rapid pace as well. So we do need to get our arms around that one. And then there's about 4% is debt service. So we have that that to deal with. And in all others, agriculture included, is about 9% of the decisions. So, yeah. But under all other is ag, you know, Department of Environmental Protection, DCNR, your judiciary, the legislature, DCED, all that comes into that 9%. So it's again, it's education, human services are huge, and then the whole prison system is another large one. And then our revenue side. I'm doing this for Keith's sake, actually. So, but our revenue side is personal income tax is about 42%. So it's already, you know, a large chunk of what we bring in. Sales tax is 34%, and then your corporate taxes, you know, net income and other corporate taxes amount to about 16%. So those are by far the three large ones. So with that, again, just commend all of you for what you do. I've kind of watched this whole thing with, you know, the relationship between Lanco and Columbia Borough as well, or Columbia School District, rather. And I'd like to commend you for doing that. And the reason I say that, does anybody know how many school districts 500 is correct, yes. So 500 school districts, and we've had 500 for a long, long time. And, you know, some are better off than others. And you know, from east to west, this state, I like to make the comment that Pennsylvania is probably about as diverse as the country. You know, and Paul shaking his head, I mean, you know, you go from Philadelphia to Bedford, to Erie, or Pittsburgh. There's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of diversity throughout. But the idea that you're trying something, you're looking at a new idea, but within that, there's this kind of opt-out clause of things don't work out. It feels good to me. But I just commend you for trying something. I know. The legislators are talking a lot about it. They're watching it. You know, they're looking at, you know, kind of duplicated maybe in some of the other school districts. Is there something else? I mean, it's time really to try some things. Education being such a huge part of our total state budget, and of course, you know, your school districts all rely on. I'm not sure what our percent is even as a state of your total budget, but I gave you the percent of the state budget at least. So with that, I don't know if there's time for any questions or anything. Rob, I don't know why.
please take questions. That's why we invited you, so there'll be some dialogue. The only caveat to that is I know the Steelers started 5 minutes ago. I was told by one board member in particular that the Steelers is equal. So, who did that? But this is an opportunity. We haven't always had such regular contact with our legislators, and so I applaud and appreciate Representative Zimmerman coming. So we have him here. So let's ask some questions.
I will say this. Lancaster County, we've had Senator Smucker serve on the Education Committee. As a matter of fact, he was chair of the Education Committee over the Senate side. And I've been real close to Lloyd. I was just with him the other evening at an event as well. But I've been over in his committee meeting several times during the process here. But there's no one else in Lancaster County that's in the Education Committee. So we have no one from Lancaster County in the House side that's on education. So hopefully going into, and we spoke about this, but hopefully going into this upcoming season, we can get somebody representing our county. Because there's seven of us, and clearly we should be representing education. And so Ryan Ahmed, I'm understanding, will be replacing Senator Smucker in education. So at least we'll have a senator, good senator on that committee. So very important. If any questions at all?
Well, I'll just say, obviously, nothing's got to get that in rest this year, being it's election year significance. What would be, two issues you'd like to see addressed? You don't have to go into detail. Just two issues you'd like to see is related to education. You'd like to see that you had a good way of magic wand within reality that the House and the Senate could agree on.
Yeah. Well, clearly, that's not going to happen this fall anymore. We're going back next week, and there is quite a few bills kind of pending on the House side. There's a number of them on the Senate side as well. I do think we're going to move some legislation, but it certainly won't be anything major like that, Tom. But going into next session, we have to get our arms around pension. There was some votes on pension earlier this year, but it hasn't gone anywhere. A lot of disagreements on how that should look. The upside, though, that I didn't mention, that I will, but for this year, on this budget, the first time in 15 years that we actually met the unfunded pension liabilities. So we, that's in the budget, and that's being paid for. First time in 15 years, and that should at least help, slow down that growth. But we need to do more than that. So that's one. I'll tell you, Tom. I not only would this help immensely on with schools, and especially if you're doing building projects and all, but prevailing wage is another one that we'll be tackling. There's a number of others. I have a whole list of kind of have eight priorities, and a few of those are related to education. Those are these two.
But obviously, the pension, I often said, if you can only do one thing next year, just get the pension, that would solve a lot of ills down the road. As far as the budget goes.
And hopefully we can continue to do these full payments into the unfunded piece going forward.
I'd just like to thank you for coming over and sharing your view and taking the time to spend some time with us this evening.
Yeah. Thank you. And I'll just kind of wrap it up by saying, if there's anything any of you need too, I am just blessed with great staff. And some of you may have met my chief of staff, Priscilla Everly. That's here at the Peters Road office. And then Casey Martin at that office, and then Joy Kelly as well. But all three of them. We're getting a lot accomplished. The one thing that I was surprised at when I got into the position was how difficult it is to navigate the agencies. And I believe the agencies were set up to help and protect the residents. so difficult to communicate with. But through our office, we have a way of kind of getting through that, and my staff does not take no for an answer. So if you need something, do contact us. But again, thanks for the time.
I forgot about Rodney. Do you have any questions?
Actually, I do. First, I wanted to say thanks for coming in to present for us this evening. That's great. And so my question is more on if you could just provide, or what is the general tone in the legislature now toward cyber schools and charter schools in general, especially now that we're having a lot more conversations because of the stoppage in funding last year and the way that monies were allocated towards cyber schools ahead of public schools. So in this session, and maybe moving forward, what do you think the general tone is for these institutions?
Yeah, over in the Republican side, for sure, there's a lot of conversation and they believe that there should be all types of school choice, but also a lot of conversation about the whole fair funding piece, and I think that's that needs considerable more dialogue. And there is some of those meetings I attended over in the Senate side, there's lots of conversation on that very issue, on what is fair and the whole issue between how those fundings happen. So I think that's clearly going to be a priority going forward, and it's a priority in both caucuses, both sides of the aisle. So you'll hear
me. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you for coming out, and we'll look forward to possibly having you back early next year when things are heating up.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Moving on here at this time. We have a personnel report. I hope you have all had the opportunity to do it. It's a lengthy report right now. So we have Nadine. Do you want to get up for any comments in the personnel report before I put it?
No, I think everything's pretty clear.
Okay. So I have a motion to approve the personnel report.
So moved.
Second.
Got a. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passed. Well, at this time, we'll move on to property and services. Keith?
Yes, thank you. We do not have any action items for next Monday, but I have one information item. I did want to provide you an update on our transportation software. As you know, we implemented last year, and there were some hiccups in the road, if you will. This year, with the scheduling of the routes, went a lot smoother. Last year, there was a lot of cleanup last year and a lot of changes that we had to make, but for the most part, software is running very well, and the transportation department is very happy with the abilities within the system to see the runs, where the buses are, and see if there's any issues. I did want to provide an update. As you know, part of that was going to have the students being able to scan on and scan off. All the students at all levels have received a lanyard, ID badge. They are wearing them, even the high school, middle school. We were out first couple of days of school and saw they had their lanyards on, which was very nice. Our hopes is to start that scanning process sometime during October. Once we get all the runs solidified and all the bugs ironed out of the system from the runs and the routes, we're hoping to do that in October. As you know, the next item to roll out would be the parent portal, if you will, where the parents can actually have access to their route to and from school. You know, there's a perimeter around where if it gets within 5 minutes, an alert or something like that. Our hopes is once we can get through the students scanning on and off, our hopes is early next year, calendar year, after January, is to hopefully roll that out. Time will tell once we see how the scanning goes. But from that standpoint, things are going well.
Keith, are there any districts in the county currently using this?
Yeah, in our county, Pepley Valley and us are really the ones that kind of went out in the lead there in the county. In Lebanon County, Elko was one of the first ones to have it, and they've been scanning for about a year or so.
Yeah,
so
this is their second year.
Second year of scanning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But in the county here, it was Pecker Valley and us. And now there's others like CD just implemented this year. So they're slowly looking at it. Cook County is looking at it as well. So.
Anybody else have any other questions for Pete? Rodney, any questions?
No, I was worried. I was going to ask about the bus scan, but you addressed it.
Thank you. I just wanted to add that up. The IU board member from Elko is really, really pleased with the way that that whole system is working for Elko. And they have a lot of, rural routes that are affected by, you know, weather and outside conditions. And they're really pleased with it, being able to know where people are at any time.
All right. Moving along, we have a program meeting.
Yes, I have three action items for next week. The first one is approval of the settlement agreement for a student with special needs. We've been working with the parents and we've come to an agreement. We'll provide $21,000 for them to have some special services for their student. Questions? Our second, my second action item is approval of an educational program, once again, for a student with special needs. This is one of the students that had originally been at Brecknock and needed more support. And so we'll send him to another school where he can get that support. Any questions about that? The final action item is the approval of affidavits of guardianship. It is that time of year that we always reapprove or approve of any new affidavits of guardianship for the school year. And we do have a copy of those students and guardians. Any questions? That is my report.
Last chance. All right, move on to management. Bob.
Thank you, Mr. President, Mr. Chair. We have a couple of policies that we need to either add or adjust. The first one is a nepotism policy. I was actually surprised that the auditors caught this one for us. He came in to me and said, we have a nepotism policy, and I said, oh, I'm sure we do, and we don't. So it was a good catch by the auditors, and it's fairly simple and straightforward. Typically for policies, folks, we give it a 6-week look, but because it's only 2 pages, and I'd like to say to the auditors as they're finishing up, hey, we already did it, not that we're trying to pull anything on them because we're telling them that we're doing it. I'd like to try and get this with action next week because it is such a short and straightforward policy. So we are adding a nepotism policy. It is policy 304, if you catch a typo there on the first page. It's policy 304.1. And it's, again, pretty straightforward. The second change is in policy 801, and the policy change is very, very slight. I need to actually pull it up here. Nick, can you pull up policy 801 for me, please? It's literally one portion of a line. On page 3, Nick, scroll down to page 3. And here again, it's one of those situations we do the best we can. Our solicitor very much was specific when they said, don't put this in. And the auditors are suggesting that we do put it in. So we're going to listen to the auditors and over our solicitor. So essentially, the way the policy was written, we didn't have a limit. It was assumed there was no limit on request for a right to know. This simply says there is no limit on request for a right to know. And again, because of the very minor change, I'm going to ask for this next week. Typically 6 weeks for policy, it's 2 months to turn it around. Also because we can then say to the auditors, look, we've already made this change at your recommendation.
Was that similar, it was like 5 years ago, we had somebody from Philadelphia requesting information. We had a
copy a lot of things from. Is that along the same lines?
It would be. I'll be honest with you. I thought when the Right to Know law came out, we would get a whole lot more. And initially, what we ended up getting was a lot of businesses asking for business contracts. It wasn't even like a public kind of venue, which is what it was intended to be. But businesses got smart and said, well, how much are you paying for your copy services? How much are you paying for them? And so we ended up doing a lot of that nonsense. But since then, we really, he's the official Right to Know officer. And I would say we get maybe one every 2 months. And the last one we got was from folks in Columbia Saturday. So it really hasn't been our folks at all. I can't remember the last one we got. It's been a couple months anyway. So people have not, truly have not been abusive. It is when you get those ones from California that you got to scratch your head, but we've got to respond to those too. And we had one from California years ago. I think we got one related to athletics here in the last year. They wanted to know the dates of the football helmets, how old the football helmets were, things like that. So that's often those are reporters doing a Right to Know request. And we have very, it's interesting. You know, the law was sort of put in place for the common man, so to speak. And it's reporters and businesses really taking advantage of it. But again, just very minor change in the recommendation of the auditor. We have two other policies. I'm actually going to let Keith talk about it because they're in the investment world that we'd like to bring to you. And I have no preference. If you want to spend time with these two policies, we can wait till next month, or if you're comfortable with them, we can do those next week as well.
The next policy that you have is a modification to our current investment policy per Act 10 of 2016. They're really the same policy. The two different ones is a red line from our current version, and the second one is a clean copy. Act 10 really came about, as you know, over the years. There's been investment losses. There's been swaps and all those things that have been going on, where districts have been trying to inch up the yield a little bit. There's some banks and agencies out there trying to market some investments to districts that on the surface look okay, but when you actually do your due diligence, may not be as great. So you have some more risks there. So this policy that came out from the legislature really helps to better clarify what are acceptable investments. The current investment that we deal with is through the Pennsylvania School District Liquid Asset Fund. It's an investment pool. They are acceptable under this new policy and new act. They're fully collateralized and their rating is one of the best. It also provides more due diligence on the business manager, the Chief of Finance and Operations, myself, and the school district, just making sure that you're doing your research on the firms themselves, make sure that they're appropriately collateralized, the ratings are there. Also has more reporting responsibility on myself to the board. Really not a whole lot of change. We currently, when I looked at the new policy compared to the old and what we currently report, very minor changes. We're reporting all the different type of investments we have, as well as the interest earned on the month, as well as year to date, and also provides a little bit more board involvement, where myself would annually, within 60 days of the adoption of our budget, I would provide you with like an investment program that I'm looking at doing for the upcoming year. Also provides cash flow analysis that I would need to share with our investment partner that I do now. So not a lot of changes for us. But just wanted to kind of briefly go over what the changes are, as well as the policies that you have. You have the red line as well as the clean version. So,
just because they're completely up to the board, we're not hurried for the investment one, and there's a lot more change to that, a lot more red there. You want to wait till October, we can do that. If you're comfortable forwarding it next week for policy, we can do that as well. That's discretionary.
If you wouldn't mind, though, instead of having part of a consent agenda, since we're doing it so quickly, if we could just ask one separately so that we have noted that even though we did do it quickly, we did it with due diligence.
Very smart. That's really good. So all three, all those policies, just let's pull them out for individual vote.
I assume that we would go through the whole process with this, with the first reading.
Oh.
The one bunch and then the second one will be the second.
Oh, okay.
Like so, we usually do.
Okay.
Yeah,
second, that's, for that one we will then.
Yeah, I don't need to actually adopt the way Bob was saying. I was just thinking we're going to go through the month of review and then I may have put it in the wrong section.
That's okay.
But I was thinking this would be more of a review, a discussion, and then we would have official action at our October meeting.
But this still pull the other two policies out, Justin, for actual vote of the other two. The next item I have is just a precursor to the official enrollment report. If you recall, every October we have to sort of pull together our official numbers for enrollment and send those to PBE. But as we were talking in cabinet last week, Dr. Larkin shared with me the numbers at the elementary school, and because those numbers were, I would say, significantly lower than 1 year ago, I decided to start doing a little bit of digging into enrollment and provide you with a little bit more complete report. So it's all good news. At the end of the day, our numbers are about where they were supposed to be according to the Pell study. So I'll just skip to the end and say everything's good. However, just a little bit into the details, our numbers at the elementary level are down, and they're down by about 130 students. That's making some great numbers for classroom teachers. Best numbers we've had in many years. If you recall, we really squeaked those numbers up during the recession that we had 5 years ago, and now those numbers are pretty decent. That the report that's in your blue folder, I'll give you a hard copy of this, from last year, we're off 130 at the elementary. But then if you start looking up toward the secondary schools, the middle school is right on the money. There's only a difference by four compared to the Pell study, and only a difference of four from last year. That's amazing. That number is identical. You do not have that information in front of you. The where we do pick up students, interestingly for me, is at the high school. The Pell study predicted that we'd be about 1,053, and we're actually at 1,080 at the high school. So it's a difference of about 30. So overall, however, let me do the final numbers here. I pulled out the page from the Pell study with Mr. Ramsey's assistance. We still have that Pell study from only a couple of years ago. We were to be at 3,179, according to Pell, 3,179, and we're at 3,160. Pretty darn close. Those guys, I don't know how they do it. And every year we always shake our heads and they put a lot of information in there, but Pell has always been very close within a couple of percentages. So overall, the population's right about where it was predicted to be. The good news is we have room in our elementary schools, and the higher numbers were matriculating out of the high school. So, you know, I know there's been some concern about the fact that Hawk Valley Golf Course looks like it's finally going to fold and actually see some construction after many, many battles. The bottom line is I think we're prepared to take some students without too much trouble, especially since our room is at the elementary school. And the higher numbers, the higher than predicted numbers are going to matriculate out here in the next couple of years. So, like I said, it was all good news, great class sizes at the elementary school, and room to grow a little bit if, in fact, students start showing up. Any questions on the enrollment piece? We do watch it closely because it doesn't take much to throw us out of kilter, especially if you get bubbles where just certain classes have higher numbers. But the good news is I think we're on track. My recommendation is that we continue to watch this. I would say, too, that we may want to get an update from Pell again in the spring, especially if they start breaking ground in a couple of developments, just to make sure that we're still on course. Any questions?
The other thing that I have in your folder, I believe, Justin, do we put a hard copy in or not of the CD? Okay, so I know Nadine, Dr. Larkin, shared with you what was happening for professional development on one of the days the teachers returned. I just don't think she underscored herself or her team enough. I think this is phenomenal. This is one of the most progressive professional development programs that I have ever seen. Teachers had many, many choices. The feedback was extremely positive. Dr. Larkin pulled off something I couldn't come close to doing when I was in her position many years ago. Her and her team, and the feedback was what we wanted. Teachers were very positive on it. In addition to that, we even had sort of a mini fair going on outside in the lobby where we had tables there from vendors, and vendors presented, from health vendors to our Spartan Foundation for Education was there. So all in all, it was a phenomenal day. We did give you the link, too, if you wanted to go in and take a closer look at some of the descriptors of this. What's also awesome about this, it was teachers presenting to teachers, so it was colleague to colleague. All around, it was a great day, and I think it really helped us get off on a great foot for the school year, just because it was a lot more camaraderie among all players, the administrators and the teachers together, as well as some of the other guests that we had here. So that was a great day. So thank you, Dr. Larkin and her team. Any final comments on that? Okay. As you also know, we have been giving you updates on our efforts to reach out for pre-K, getting out to parents and getting students sort of more engaged and engaged, getting parents engaged prior to kindergarten. One of the many activities associated with that was advertising the use of Ready Rosie at various businesses throughout the community. Ready Rosie is a free program that parents can sign on to and use with their pre-K kids. That the district has paid for. We have already have 27 children signed up for it who are pre-K, who are not even affiliated with the school district yet, which is really cool. But I did want to mention specifically the businesses in the area who allow us to advertise in their business for this. I won't dime out the ones who said no, because some of them I didn't know why, but there are a few who declined our request. I would imagine some of that's policy that some of the larger schools or larger businesses have. But I did want to give public knowledge to a number of businesses who have our information hanging in their business looking split. We have two that are pending approvals, Fireside and Mullen Coffee, the Library, Sheets, NHY, Palermo, Reuse It, Bella Italian, Ranks Restaurant, Terry Hill Restaurant, Slice of Italy. Our Italians are really represented. Our pizza shop, which is get a lot of traffic, which is great. BB Grocery, Bakery in Churchtown, Morgantown, Goodwill, Windmill Restaurant, Narvon Sunoco, Bowmansville Sunoco, Weaver Store, Martin's Flooring, Five Point Laundry, Reuse It Shop of Route 23 in Morgantown, Antonio's Spots Pizza, all the way out in Morgantown, Briar Rose Greenhouse, J.B. Zimmerman, Joger's, Green's, Shady Maple, Trailside, Slice of Brooklyn. I got all that. There's a lot of pizza shop in this town. Slice of Brooklyn, Town Hall Restaurant, and the PB Post Office. So thank you to all those businesses. I wanted to get that in the minutes and record it. So we've reached out to a lot of folks to get the word out, and we're better to do that than in the pizza places because everybody loves pizza. So it's working out really well. Compliments again to the members of Dr. Larkin's team for bringing those goals to fruition. Dr. Larkin wants to add one thing.
Part of our pre-K outreach is our specialist providing a 45-minute session once a week, and they started last week with music, and today Art had a session at Blue Ball, and tomorrow the librarians have a session, and starting in October, PE and STEM will also have sessions, and parents could sign up, and we're allowing parents or caregivers to bring their children. So far, we have seven students signed up for each of the programs, so we're all excited. And the children get to do things with their parents or caregivers, and then they get to take stuff home. So it started off very well, and thanks a whole lot to our specialists who took this on.
If I could just make a comment, Dr. Larkin, I was so happy to see the fire come home with the kids, Friday with this elementary, all those back to school papers that had all of the dates listed for these pre-K initiatives throughout the evenings. I think it's great.
We really are enjoying it, and I think it's going to benefit our children in the long run.
Yeah, just even coming onto quote campus a year ahead of when you need to, or 2 years, it's a great icebreaker for kids. Feel a lot more confident on day one. So got a lot of methods of attack to try and improve our kindergarten readiness, which is the ultimate goal, both the readiness in terms of the academic readiness, but also the social readiness and some of those other pieces. So again, we're on the right path here, and we've got more to do. But we're certainly working a good plan. So thank you to those who are doing that. The last item, any other comments?
Well, I have to say, you know, I'm a fan. My granddaughter Ava did the Ready Rosie thing, just started kindergarten, and it's just been so fun. I can't help but notice that when my daughter Megan started kindergarten, she was in a class of, I am pretty sure it was 25 that year. And you know what? It went fine. We had a lot of parent help. We had aides in the room. But Ava has a class of 16. And when I heard that number, it was like, wow. But seriously, she's a great example of a child who has not been out much. She'd been doing preschool, mom's at home. And socially, you know, it was really, really great for her to have that introduction. And everything went well, from the bus driver to the kindergarten teacher. She is just loving it. So well done.
The last item I have is, if you recall last year, PSBA started running their elections a little differently, and I'm asking for your input. By next week, there is a hard copy of information in your folder. We will need to have a motion from the board to approve a slate of candidates for election. The board needs to act as one on that slate, and we need to forward that election result, essentially election result, on the PSBA. So please look at the information in your blue folder. It talks about the candidates, and then someone will need to make a motion next week, and then we'll need to take action on that motion. That is all I have. Just a reminder, board members, we do have a retreat scheduled for next Thursday, the 22nd, beginning at 5 o'clock, and it'll probably be right here in this room. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All righty, any other announcements for the board? We have some beautiful weather going on. Get out and support our athletic teams and cheer them on here in September. Of course, we have the fairs coming up. Rodney, you have anything you want to add?
No, just by the connection work and my battery now.
Okay, that's good. All right, if not, do I have a motion to close the meeting?
So moved.
We have a motion. Second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thanks, Rodney. Get some sleep.
Yep. You bet. Bye.